A reading from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 15th chapter, verses 16 to 32. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. And they called together a whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And when they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him, and when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from that cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our meditation on God's word, we welcome Pastor James Nill, Concordia Lutheran Church, Triangle, Virginia.
If you've been on this Lenten walk, either on the radio or at church, or in your own private or family devotions, you know it's drawing to a close. Here in this series, you've seen Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. You've seen his betrayal by Judas. You've seen him brought before the high priest, the chief priests, the elders, and scribes, under their questioning, designed to give them what they could pass off as a credible cause to have him killed. You heard him say, "Destroy this temple," meaning his body, "and in 3 days I will raise it up again." When they demanded of him, "Are you the Christ?" he clearly answered, "I am." The high council, in their hatred, was driven to spit on, strike, and mock him, even joined by the guards. They delivered him to Pilate, the governor, who asked if he truly were a king. His answer, "You have said so." A murderer and insurrectionist named Barabbas was released in his place, and Jesus was scourged and delivered to be crucified. If you haven't experienced or reflected on those things, or if this is all new to you, let me tell you about the next things in this unfolding piece of history. Not just world history, but the history of your life. The history of what God did to save you from an unpleasant and never-ending existence that picks up when you die and goes on forever. You see, God is a just, a perfect God, and he hates anything that spoils perfection. He hates sin, because sin spoils perfection. There's no room for sin or for sinners in his presence. Well, if that's who this God is, you might say you want nothing to do with him. You know you're not perfect. Maybe you know you're not perfect by a lot. Or maybe, as you see it, you're not perfect by just a little. Either way, if this demanding God wants only perfection, then you might as well have nothing to do with him. Except that this demanding God wants nothing more than to have something to do with you. He wants you in his presence. He wants to give you his perfection. He will give anything to have you there. He will give even the life of his own perfect son in your place. Yes, he would sacrifice his own son, his only son, for you. Now, before you hate this God even more because he's taking out his hatred of sin on his own son, know that the son shares that same love for you as his father, to the extent that he, the son, willingly gave his own life, taking your place and paying for your imperfection. Here's how the story, the history, continues. Jesus was led away, and they called together the whole battalion, at that time a cohort of up to 600 men. They were going to have a little fun, a little entertainment, at the expense of this well-known condemned man, who had just acknowledged before those who would not believe him that he was, in fact, the Messiah, the Son of God. They clothed him in a cloak of royal purple and placed on his head a crown woven from a thorny plant with spines 2 to 3 inches long. They mocked him, saluting and bowing before him as a king, then spitting on him and striking the thorns on his head with a reed. After their fun, they put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. By this time, he was so weak from the beatings and flailing of his body and the spiritual suffering he was enduring, he couldn't carry the 75 to 125-pound cross piece. The soldiers compelled a passerby from North Africa to carry the piece up to the hill of crucifixion. He was nailed with spikes to a cross and hung up to die an excruciatingly painful death for you. This was the sacrifice. This was the payment that God's Son made, having become human as well as divine, so he might suffer the just consequences of all the sin of all the people from all of time. It was hell. Paraphrasing a Lenten message from a series called Secret Head Now Wounded by Concordia Publishing House, Jesus was stripped that your sinful nakedness might be clothed in the bright robe of his righteousness. He wore a crown of thorns that you might wear a royal crown. He was beaten and mocked that you might be welcomed and treasured. That's how much God loved you. Whether you are a long-term friend and follower of Jesus or someone who knew little about him, this is how much he loves you still, and so does his Son, now risen from the dead. He wants you for himself. He wants to shower his love on you as he leads you through this life and on to an eternity where you will go on with him, freed from sin's curse forever.
We thank Pastor James Nill for this meditation on God's Word.